without question, the most powerful thing that we have upon this earth, more powerful than the atom bomb. And so we want to investigate this idea of reading God's Word today. In the lessons in the series that we are conducting right now, we have called it spiritual wellness, and in which we've examined the wellness that we all have regarding our service and our worship to our great God. In our spiritual checkup, if you will, we are considering in the beginning of how the child of God cares and shares with one another in the sense of Bible fellowship. And we also asked in that is how well we talk, how we use the words of our mouths. Are they uplifting and encouraging words and edifying to the hearer? And we also then again, we talked about the hope that we all have, the hope of the resurrection of Christ, the hope of eternal life in heaven with God are certainly two of the greatest hopes that we have that help keep us on that right path. And we talked about the saint of God and how important it is to hear properly. And today we'll continue this examination by asking the questions of how well do you read? Such an important thing when it comes to our Christian lives and our spiritual lives. Jesus asked many times, have you not read? Jesus, in defense of his disciples in Matthew chapter 12, his disciples were hungry and they had gathered corn to eat. And they began to pluck the heads of the grain, and the Pharisees, they saw it and they were filled with indignation, and they said, look, your disciples, they do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And Jesus responded with the words, but have you not read? And what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, he says, or have you not read that the law of that Sabbath was for the priests of the temple and the Sabbath that they went into to eat, but they were blameless. And Jesus goes on and on and on many times about have you not read? In fact, answering regarding divorce in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus uses the same kind of phrase. The Pharisees come to him and they're trying to trick him and they're trying to test him. And they're saying to him, is it lawful for a man divorce his wife for any reason? And again, Jesus says, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? And he goes on to defend the concept that there's only one cause for divorce. And so, have you not read is such a powerful aspect of our understanding. Also, defending the children in the temple area who were praising him, who were shouting out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the Pharisees and the chief priests, they were indignant over such a statement. And again, Jesus said at their questioning, have you not read? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Again, Jesus, in regarding to the Sadducees about the resurrection from the dead, Jesus says the same thing. Have you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders reject has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in his sight. And responding to the Sadducees, the same thing. Have you not read? Well, the powerful question, have you not read, it suggests some major failings. When Jesus said these things, he was saying it to a people who apparently hadn't paid much attention to what they read, or if they read at all. It was a plague to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It plagued them that Jesus would say these things, and they had no response. They did not read and understand properly the scriptures. The same effect for all people today, both sides, within and without the church. When we think of this, the answers are in the scripture. Jesus is teaching a very powerful lesson to us all when he says those words, "Have you not read?" And when we don't read the scriptures, when we don't look, we have a tendency to fail in our duties as Christians. And in failing, we also fall out of that proper relationship that we all must have with our Father in heaven, our Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Lord says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 27, the fall will be great. And so reading the Bible is much more than just a pastime. It's not like reading a novel. It is instruction in righteousness. It is something that will guide and direct us spiritually throughout all our days. The problem, we don't necessarily read the Word of God as we should, and that affects our spiritual wellness. And so we want to raise the question, how well do we read in light of the Scriptures and concerning the different types of readers that we find in the idea of reading, those who never read, those who never actually read the Bible, the Word of God. And these are often the people who are the strongest combatants fighting against the church, fighting against the Word of God. I can't even begin to imagine how many times I have talked to somebody at Walmart or Sam's Club or somewhere out in a restaurant about the Bible, and they would say to me, "I don't believe in the Bible, I believe in evolution." And I say, "Well, what is it about the Bible you don't believe?" "I just don't believe in the Bible, I believe in evolution." "Have you ever read the Bible?" "No, but I don't believe in the Bible, I believe in evolution." Strong combatants against something that they know nothing about. Fiercely opposed to the Word of God to the point of losing their eternal souls. Being willing to let that go and fall in the hand of the devil. You know, these are they which the Apostle Paul wrote about in 2 Thessalonians concerning the lawless one. Paul writes that the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. There are people that out there that are included, and sadly, even some Christians who don't have a love for reading the Word of God. And that's bad outside in the world to the biblically illiterate, but that's no excuse at all for the child of God. And then there's those who read sparingly, who may possess a Bible and read only the passages here and there. And that also includes people who actually own Bibles. And I want you to think about that, because that brings us to one of the saddest statements that's ever made in the history of man, and that is that the Bible is the number one best-selling book in all history. And it's also the least read book in the world. And so we must take a certain look at ourselves and make sure that we're not falling into that category, literally falling away from God. And then there are those readers who read selectively. They read only certain parts of the Bible. They limit their knowledge. And it's often to protect their own personal beliefs. That's what people tend to do. They want to protect themselves. And so they read just enough to fight for themselves and not for God. The Psalms and the Gospels are something that such people would read only to soothe their conscience or to calm their troubled hearts. To take away doubts that they might have about themselves. And they find comfort in these words of David and in the life and the teaching of the Lord. And then again, those who read only the Old Testament books of the Bible. There are people whom I've talked with over the years that know so little about the New Testament, but they are very well versed in the Old Testament. And those who do this, they're always confused about what prophecy is and the culmination of prophecy, the application of the Word of God from the old law, and very confused about the differences between the new and the old. And the question is, do you think it would be wiser to read all the words of God? Of course, we would say that. Receiving the whole counsel of God is the purpose of reading God's Word. And so we need to make every effort, every day, to make not selective reading, but to read God's Word in the order in which it was delivered. And there are other ways to read, but if we read the whole counsel of God, that's what we will have. And then again, there's people who read defensively as we think about this. They read just to prove other people wrong. And they're a little bit even worse than selective reading. One should be able to prove their position is what they're trying to do. I believe this and I believe that. And so what I read is just to prove my point. And if we find ourselves doing that, we have to ask the question, what must we do? Because if we're out looking for things that support what we believe, then what we're missing is the truth. We need to be a diligent person studying the Word of God to be approved of God. And we need to be rightly dividing that Word of truth. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we know that we need to be diligently seeking God because that's where the reward is. And so we must always make certain that we're not one of those. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so let's make certain that we are not those who never read, not those who read sparingly, and not those who read defensively, because God has called this kind of reading literally a conspiracy. Look at what He says in Jeremiah 11, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. He says, "A conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They've turned their backs on God and on the fathers, and who refused to hear, and they have gone after other gods to serve them." This principle is true in every man's life, in the old and in the new, that when we refuse to hear God, when we refuse to read, that we're literally falling away. And it's kind of like a conspiracy against God. And literally, it's against our own souls. Let us not be like those who refuse to hear, refusing to read the very words of God, refusing to learn anything from history. And if we learn anything from history, what we learn is that the children of God, Israel, turn their backs on God by ignoring His commandments, by not keeping them in their hearts, by not reading them and teaching them as they go along. And that will happen to every one of us. And so those who read regularly, that's the category that we want to fall ourselves into. People who read to learn. People who read to understand what the will of God is and to obey God's Word. The Ethiopian on that road to Damascus, if you remember that account, or on the road to Egypt rather, in Acts chapter 8, that Ethiopian, as Philip was sent to find him and to talk with him about Jesus, this Ethiopian was sitting in a chariot, and the Bible tells us in verse 28 that he was reading. You hear that? He was reading the book of Isaiah. And the fact is, he was not only reading, but he was reading out loud. And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit, the importance of reading out loud. Because in verse 29, it tells us that Philip, he had ran up beside that chariot and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Great benefit in reading, because that led to the salvation of his soul. In Acts chapter 17, in verses 10 and following, we read about the Bereans. And these Bereans, they were those who were constantly reading the Scriptures. It tells us they searched the Scriptures daily. And so they were continuously being received the word with all readiness, the scriptures tell us. And as a result, it tells us in verse 12 that many therefore believed. And so again, it leads to salvation. Reading is most powerful and poignant from the word of God. You know, saying amen and amen in Nehemiah chapter 8 that we read in your hearing this morning, in verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered amen. That while they were lifting up their hands and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. These people considered the reading of God's Word as a powerful and majestic thing, and it was something that they were in awe of, that they would shout amen and amen just to the reading of God's Word. The right mindset, the right attitude towards the powerful Word of God. And as we think about this, Ezra, he blessed that great God, and the people answered amen and amen. And the great value comes even from that to the saving of a soul. Shouldn't we all, everyone, whether you're a child of God or whether you're searching for truth, shouldn't every one of us be reading the Word of God as they did, reverently, with great respect? Why is it important to the Ethiopian? Why was it important to the Bereans? Why was it important here to the children of Israel? Well, there's several reasons. And first of all, the importance of good reading. Reading blesses us. In Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the way of the world." Where a man is blessed, not when he doesn't walk in the way of the world and the law of the Lord becomes something that he meditates on day and night. That's where the blessing comes from, when somebody meditates on God's Word day and night. And we must have the Word in front of us, open to our eyes in order to meditate on the Word. That's a given. That's a necessary inference. And by the blessing of God, it says, "He shall be like a tree planted along the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and nor will they." He doesn't fall because, according to the Bible, this person is blessed and they prosper by the power and by the word of God. Also in Revelation 1 and verse 3, those who read God's word are blessed by that very reading. We read, "Blessed is he who reads and who hears." So it's so powerful and important for us to read the Word. Remember that in our text, the Bible tells us that as they read the Bible, it gave them a sense that helped the people understand what they were reading. And so reading is powerful. It gives us a sense of understanding of God and God's will. And also in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, we read that they read distinctively from the book of the law. They read distinctively from the law. And that gave them a sense that helped them to understand the reading. That's Nehemiah 8 and 8. And so what a blessing indeed it is to be able to read, to receive the spiritual blessings that ultimately lead to the salvation of our souls and those who hear us, just simply by reading the Word of God. And another blessing that comes from the Word of Truth is the reading challenges us. The reading, by that which is living and powerful, a discerner of the thoughts and the hearts. We get that from reading God's Word. It is powerful. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the hearts of man. We understand that God, the Word of God, is a living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of the soul and the spirit, to the joints and the marrow, is what the Hebrew writer writes. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so powerful thing to consider when we think of just simply reading the Word of God. by the words that are the Spirit and the life. In John 6:63, Jesus tells us that the flesh profits nothing. You can go through life from birth till death being interested in the things of this world, the things of the body, the physical things, and it doesn't profit anything. But Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, he uses a Greek term there, hramos, which means spoken words, sentences. The words that I've spoken to you, the sentences that you've heard, they are the Spirit, and the Spirit gives life. How important is it to read the Word of God on a regular basis? Thirdly, by that which effectively works in those who do believe. When you know the Apostle Paul, he wrote, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because you received the Word of God which you heard from us. They received the Word which they heard from the apostles. And realize that in the very, very beginning, in the first century, the time after the death of Christ on the cross, when the church was established upon the earth, there was no written New Testament. These people heard the preaching of the apostles and of the saints who had come out of Jerusalem in the dispersion. And in hearing that, they welcomed that as the Word of God. And it effectually works in those who believe it. And so today, as we read what was said in those days, what God has given us, what was delivered us once and for all, according to Jude, this Word of God that was delivered once for all to the saints, is now how we hear the Word of God. So we don't have apostles today. We don't have prophets today. We don't have those men. We have the Word of God, that it lasts and endures forever and is unchanging. It's something you can depend upon, because whatever you read today is exactly what you're going to read tomorrow. And of course, that's the point we need to continue in our reading. We talked about how important it is to salvation. Peter says, by that which causes one to be born again, hearing the word of God, having been born again, not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's what this is, the incorruptible Word of God. It will never, never change. All spiritual life and all spiritual growth, learning the truth, abiding in that truth, living in, walking in the pathway of duty, following Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life, everything that can lead us to eternal life depends upon the Word of God. Too many people today listen to the word of men. They'll watch a TV evangelist, listen to a radio evangelist. They'll read books written by different people, and they won't even pick up their Bibles. And yet every part of us that understands that the soul is saved through the Word of God. Jesus tells us that if we reject His words, there's one that will judge us in the last day. The Word which He has spoken will be our judge. Reading leads to understanding, and that's something we all need to focus on here today. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The writer in Deuteronomy, you know, every 7 years they had the Feast of the Tabernacles. We've been studying that with Brother Randy. Powerful lessons. And the Sunday morning, we all need to be here to hear these things. And all of Israel would appear before God in a place that God forechose, both men and women, and even strangers. And in verse 12 of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, that they may hear, that they may learn to fear the Lord their God and carefully observe all the words of His law. Nothing's changed from the Old and the New Testament when it comes to reading God's Word. We need to fear God, and we need to gain wisdom, and it all comes from reading His Word. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verses 1 through 7, we know wisdom and instruction. That comes from God's Word. We perceive the words of our understanding or receive them. We receive instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and inequity. That all comes from God's Word. That equity, the knowledge and the discretion that we learn from God's Word. All these things come from reading God's Word. And reading brings an increase in learning as we learn wise counsel from the Word of God. It brings us understanding of a proverb and an enigma, Solomon said. That means that the things which are normally hard to understand in life, the things that are difficult, they're hard to grasp. Solomon says, through the reading of the Word, through the fear of the Lord, through the knowledge which cannot be received without reading, we can learn to understand the difficult things in life. The mystery of Christ is found through God's Word. Paul wrote that by revelation that we would know. Through the words of God, he made known the mystery. Paul says, as I have briefly already written to you, which when you read, he says, you may know, you may understand the knowledge and the mystery of Christ. So powerful are the concepts behind simply reading the Word of God. And this is special. This is special to every one of us. Why? Because it, in other ages, Paul says, it was not made known. In the Old Testament times, they just looked for these great and precious things that we have now at our fingertips. It's been revealed by the Spirit through His holy apostles and through the prophets to us, thus to us who read it. It is a great power to the salvation of our souls. The Word tells us that we must continue in the things which we have learned. We get that from reading. How did they learn? To them, how did people learn then, and how do we learn today? It's the same way. We start by reading the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures that are able to make anyone wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, which comes by the hearing or the reading of God's Word. And that also helps us to stand within the will of God. You know, I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, my mind, my strength, my soul, with all my being. That's the statement that we all must make. We can't leave out any part of that to love God. It needs to be full and complete and rich. But to love God means that we're willing to do His will. We read when we had our communion service this morning, and Brother Pat read from the Scriptures, it is God's will. We sang that in a song. It is God's will. Jesus said, not my will, but thine will. And we need to understand how that applies to good reading. It's good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. How do they do that? It's by hearing the Word of God. Whether it be a spoken phrase from one of us who has read, it has to be the Word of God. If we change it or alter it, it's no longer the Word of God. And or if it's an individual who has read to themselves, it is the Word of God. We start by reading the Word of God. And that Word, it saves us. It helps us to come to the knowledge of truth, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And according to the Word of God, it completes us. It thoroughly equips us. That's what is written. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, Paul says, and it completes us. It thoroughly equips us for every good work. Wisdom, truth, grace, guidance, they all come from reading God's Word. Reading facilitates growth in hope. We understand what we're saying here. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul tells us whatever things are written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Our hope rests on nothing less than Jesus and His righteousness. Our hope rests on the Word of God, where all righteousness is born into our hearts. When we plant a seed of the Word of God, that patience and that comfort becomes a part of our lives as it grows to fruition. And so, you know, Peter, he tells us that we need to grow in our grace. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, we have that hope fully that rests upon grace. And it is brought to us by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope is a feeling of expectation. It's a desire. It's to receive certain things. Hope is an optimistic attitude that we share with all the saints. Hope is based on expectation of some positive outcome related to the events and the circumstances of life. That's what hope is. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, Paul says hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And listen, when you read the Word of God, that's pouring into your heart hope of eternal life, hope of redemption, hope of living a godly life in this world, hope of better things yet to come. According to His abundant mercy, Paul writes, He has begotten us again, or Peter rather, to a living hope. 1 Peter 1 and 3, He's begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We know Jesus rose from the dead. We know He's sitting at the right hand of God, and that is where our hope rests. Reading the Bible sustains hope in all of us. Reading the Bible leads us to everlasting life. Reading the Bible teaches us of the things that are surely yet to come, and we can rest there. But it all comes from reading. We can't instruct another outside of reading the Bible and expect that to be truth. It's not what we think. It's not what we feel. It's not what we emotionally conjure up in our minds. But our hope rests in nothing less than the righteousness of God, which we learn through reading His Word. And these are just a few benefits of reading God's Word and the importance of being a good reader. So how can we improve our ability to read? And I just have some simple steps for reading that I try to use myself. Number one, we need to give attention to reading regularly. That's what Paul instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, until I come, give attention to reading, exhortation and doctrine. And so we must give attention to reading on a regular basis. The Bible as it was written. We can read it book by, you can start in Genesis and read book by book, chapter by chapter, read all the way through Revelation. And it will do nothing but encourage you, strengthen you, and build you up. It'll cause you to purpose in your heart to love God. It'll cause you to speak the truth. It'll move you to do so many great things for God and to have good fellowship, to love one another, to love the saints, to love the church, and, of course, to love the Word of God. But we need to purpose in our hearts to do that. Every year, Daniel in chapter 1 and verse 8, we need to purpose in our heart not to do anything that would defile us with God. And certainly not reading is a defilement. And also remember that you can read the book in a chronological order. You can go on the internet and print out a chronological reading of the Bible. It's still the whole Bible. It's just date-wise how everything was written and done. Everything is good when it comes to reading. And also realize that it begins with prayer. We need to pray ultimately every time before you read. Now think about what David said, open my eyes that I may see. David said, open my eyes that I may see. He wanted to see the wondrous things of the law of God. And so before you pray, it would not hurt to ask God to open your eyes, open my heart, make my heart receptive. David said he was a stranger here on the earth. He wasn't interested in physical things. He wanted to make sure that the Lord did not hide his commandments from him. And he was willing to pray to God first. And he said, with my whole heart, I have sought you. And that's what it means when we say, I love the Lord God with all my heart. That means we should be seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness by the reading of the word. That way we don't wander from the commandments of God. And we know what the true law of the Lord is. And we read also, we need to read in such a way that every chapter, every verse, as we read, it's not for our personal benefit. And don't make mistakes. When we read, it is for a personal benefit. But when I say personal benefit, it's not so that I can prove my points. I want to prove God's points. I don't want to prove other people wrong. I want to prove God right. And we do that through the reading. So the Bible reading needs to be devotional every single day. And it does begin with prayer. Read not for your personal benefit, but not to prove other people not wrong, but to prove God right. Read with intent is another possibility, to lean not on our own understanding, but to lean on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, to learn, to teach and do, as it says in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. He prepared his heart, Ezra did. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do the law of the Lord, and to teach the law of the Lord. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, I can't talk to people about Jesus? And you know, I really believe that the root of all that is not just fear of people, but fear of making a mistake, fear of not knowing the answers. But we're commanded to study to show ourselves approved. We're commanded to sanctify ourselves. And when it comes down to it, we need to know what God said. And when we read his word, we can prepare to seek the law of the Lord. We can prepare to do the law of the Lord. And we prepare to teach that law of the Lord. To be doers of the word, James says, not hearers only. We receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. And then we need to be doers of that word. We look for the perfect law of liberty through that word. And that's where the blessings come from. Read and mark. And what I mean by read and mark is pretty simple. Highlighters, pens, pencils in your Bible. You know, you mark certain passages that you can go back to and find quickly. And read aloud is very helpful. When it comes to reading aloud, I want you to think about these. It helps maintain focus. It avoids drifting when you read out loud. And it also helps you to hear. It increases your attentiveness to God's word. In fact, according to studies, you increase your opportunity for retention by over 100% just simply by reading the word of God out loud. According to a study that was done by a fella, Kinkelborg, and he wrote a book called Some Thoughts on the Lost Art of Reading Aloud. He said one of the most basic tests is to have somebody test their comprehension from someone who reads out loud versus somebody who actually reads to themselves out loud. And when you read to yourself out loud, you understand the words more clearly. There's a pattern that is formed in your mind, and it becomes a very powerful thing. And so we increase that retention simply by reading out loud. Well, that's what I think about reading the Bible. And I hope those things are akin to you. And I hope that it helps you to reestablish something that may have been lost. And remember that the Word of God and the words of Jesus, they indeed are precious gifts. Reading the Word produces a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, 105. But let's not forget verse 106. Where Paul says, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. And that means to continue to study. One of God's righteous judgments is that we study to show ourselves approved unto God, that we're diligent. The words of eternal life in John chapter 6 and verse 68, after Jesus had told the disciples that the words that he speak are the Spirit and the Spirit gives life, and many of the disciples walked away. They could no longer accept the words of God. And Peter was asked by Jesus, will you also walk away? And in verse 68, Peter said, where will we go? For you have the words of life. And now we have those same words. And you might, yet might Jesus one day say to us, have you never read? Think about that. If you're standing before the Lord and he says, but have you never read? That's not a good thing to hear from the Lord. What you want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not, haven't you read? And when we think about that reading, the gospel plan of salvation is there. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it's there. Go into all the nations. Make disciples of them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then teach them to observe all things that we've commanded you. He told the disciples recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 16, 15 and 16. And they did. They went into all the world, preached to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And so also remember the need to remain faithful. That means to read. That means to assemble together with the saints. That means to go out into the world. That means to hold the righteousness of God important in your life. All these things, we need to remain faithful in order to receive that crown of life. If we continue reading, we will be filled with faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And we won't fear the things that this world throws out at us. We live in such a tumultuous time, with the election just a few days off and all the difficulties in trying to figure out what you're going to do and all the sin that abounds. We find great comfort by reading God's Word, to understand God's will and to understand that He's omnipotent, that His sovereignty covers all things. And we learn that through the reading of His Word. We don't fear the devil. We don't fear what the devil can do to us. We don't fear anything except God's, His own power to destroy our souls. So we want to remain faithful until death. You know, we need to take charge like Joshua did. You read Joshua chapter 1 and God, Moses had died and Joshua now has been assigned to take the place of leading the people of Israel. And he diligently applied the words of God. He took that book of the Bible. And he said, this book. That's what he said. Now, we're talking old and new, but it's still the same. He said, this book shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, when we read the Word of God on a constant, everyday basis, and when we meditate on it day and night, it shall not leave our mouths. It'll be there, ready when we need it. And we need to observe to do all the things that are written, that we may prosper, Joshua said, or the Lord said. And as we do these things, we will have good success. You know, I hope that you'll come for our next lesson next week about how well do you pray. But today, that's our lesson, and I thank you for your patience and your understanding and your kindness. I'd like to mention that reading God's Word is again what leads to eternal life. In John 6:63, Jesus said that the words I speak, they are the Spirit, and they give life. We will be judged by this Word. Our salvation depends upon this Word. If you've heard the gospel today, if you understand that you must hear it, you must believe, you must repent of your sins, you must confess Jesus is the Christ before the living God, and you must also be baptized into Christ, immersed in the water for the forgiveness of your sin. If you understand these concepts and you haven't done them, then you need to do that today. You need to make today the day of your salvation and live in joy like that Ethiopian eunuch for the rest of your life, reading the Word of God. If we've fallen short of that and we've fallen into sin of any nature, we know what we must do. We must repent of that, turn away from it, and return to God in prayer with confession in our heart. We have an opportunity to be helped this day. Everything is ready and prepared for you, and I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.